the prophet Isaiah. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we in agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Shalom. Welcome back to the broadcast. We are resuming our study that has been very well received. And I think it's because it's just so timely. And that is our faith and work study out of the general epistles. We finished James a few weeks ago. We started Peter last week. And today we are resuming or continuing on with 1 Peter. And we're ready for chapter 2. Now the first chapter you need to go back and listen to, because this is a continuation of that thought, which is, hey, newsflash, you can't just say you're a Christian, you actually have to live like one. God is holy, and his people are also called to be holy in conduct, in the way they speak, in the way they act, in the way they think. Peter's going to continue that conversation, and in this part, or in this section, chapter 2, he even kind of identifies it as spiritual sacrifices to God. Because we don't go in a temple or anywhere or to a priest and make physical sacrifices anymore. That was done by our Messiah once and for all. And those who truly believe in that's, you know, we all know that part. The problem is that modern Christianity thinks, well, Christ paid the price, so now I can live however I want. Instead of Jesus has freed me from the bondage of sin, the attitude is Jesus has freed me to sin. And that couldn't be further from what the scriptures teach. So with that said, let's jump in. Let's have a look at 1 Peter. He's going to first talk about how he's going to continue that thought about your actions, spiritual sacrifices, but he's also going to bring up the fact that, hey, you were once, meaning you Gentiles, you once had no real access to God. Now that door has been completely opened, anyone who trusts, who believes, can be saved, and as a result of that, you should be a holy nation, set apart. And Messiah has become that chief cornerstone, and he's a stumbling block for the unbelievers. He's a stumbling block, the word that Peter actually uses, for the disobedient. Let's have a look. Let's let Peter speak for himself. Continuing on his thought about conduct, about holiness, about how you should live as a Christian. 25 verses. Verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted, the Lord is gracious. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So please note, Peter's saying you are part of this building. He's using kind of a building as an example of we're all part of this body. And you have a duty now, which is to live for God. The spiritual sacrifices. Here's what John Wesley says about that part. Verse 5, which is, let me read that again. You also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Here's what John Wesley says. Ye believers as living stones, alive to God through him, are built up in union with each other, a spiritual house, being spiritual yourselves, and a habitation of God through the Spirit, listen closely, a holy priesthood consecrated to God, and holy as he is holy, to offer up, here's what you're offering up, here's what your sacrifices are, to offer up your souls and bodies with all your thoughts, words, and actions as spiritual sacrifices to God. Your soul's body, your thoughts, your words, and your actions. All these things are part of the Christian walk. You can't just claim to be a Christian. You have to conduct yourself like one. And if you remember, Peter's, in the first chapter of Peter, 1 Peter, he's like, it's not only your duty, your reasonable duty, but it's also your desire. It's not just the duty of every Christian to behave and walk this way. It should also be the desire. They go hand in hand. You want to do these things. When we get to John, he's going to be very clear when we get to the epistles of John, that we obey God as demonstration that we love God, and obeying his commands are not grievous. They're not burdensome. It's our great pleasure. It's our great desire. I would argue if you're like, oh, I hate that I have to do this. I just want to do what I want. Well, that right there is very telling about your heart and your relationship with God. If you're constantly trying to push back against what, or trying to find a loophole, let's continue on. Because Peter is going to define kind of some more of these spiritual sacrifices, which kind of make you raise your eyebrow, because it's about submission to authorities, submission to your boss at work, your master, is what it's called here. And about, yeah, let's just let Peter talk. Sorry. Verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which is disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, that same stone made the head cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So there's that part. We read that prophecy from the book of Isaiah to start the show. John Wesley talking about this, he says, who stumble, whereunto also they were appointed, meaning they who believe not stumble and fall and perish forever. God having appointed from all eternity, he that believeth not shall be damned. Verse 9. But, see, it goes from, here's the chief cornerstone, those who are disobedient, those who believe not. But you, verse 9, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. See, he's speaking to the Gentiles now. You didn't really have a relationship and access to God. You weren't really a people, not in the way the Jews were a people. But now you are. You're a peculiar people. You're a priesthood. You're a holy nation. You should be praising God. You should be just out of your mind with joy about being called out of that darkness. Verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. Does it sound like Peter's telling you to go live your best life now? Live it up. You've got the freedom and the liberty. I mean, the first two chapters are him saying, walk in holiness, abstain from these things. You're pilgrims and strangers. This is not your homeland. Abstain from these evil things. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good work. They may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be a king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praises of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing that you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Peter saying, be submissive to the authorities for God's sake. Because it's not just about you and my rights are being this and my rights are that. It's you're representing the kingdom of God. And do it out of your own will, right? Verse 16, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of malice, but as for the servants of God. Verse 17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Servants, be subjects to your masters with all fear, not only to do the good and gentle, but also to the froward, meaning perverse. So in other words, whether your boss is a complete jerk or whether they are super kind, your conduct is to be the same because you represent God. Verse 19, for this is thankworthy. If a man is conscious towards God, endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it if when you be buffeted by your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and you suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable to God. So see, he's clarifying what it means to actually suffer for God. If your boss is coming down on you because you're just not a very good employee, but then you take it patiently, well, what is that worth? That's not a sacrifice to God. What's a sacrifice to God is when you're being wrongfully mistreated, but you take it patiently. You see the difference? If your own behavior is getting you in trouble, well, that's your fault. But if you're being mistreated simply because they don't like you, they don't like your faith, and you take that patiently, well, that's does different. God sees that. Five more verses. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, and when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. He's saying, if the king of the universe can come here, humble himself, suffer for your sake, be nailed to a tree for your sake, bear your sins, and keep his mouth closed, not revile back against those who reviled against him, then should you be able to do that where your boss is concerned? Or where a governor is concerned? To represent the kingdom of God, to be a light to the world? This is hard stuff. This is hard stuff right here. Especially in the times we're living in. You know, I'll admit that I'm a rebellious person by nature. I don't necessarily have a desire to rebel against God, at least not intentionally. But I certainly want to rebel against any human authority at any time. Like, that's just in my nature. Like, don't tell me what to do. You're not going to mistreat me. So when I read Peter and then I preach what he's saying to all of you, please know that I have that same feeling about some of it, but this is what God has called us to do. It's hard stuff. Peter also says, you know, you're also responsible to love the brotherhood. Your brothers and sisters in Messiah. We are all part of the same body. And your conduct will demonstrate what you really believe, right? That's the continuing theme through all these epistles. It's amazing to me that the apostles wrote these letters, calling anyone who reads them, because they're general epistles, right? It's not like it's written specifically to the Romans, like the book of Romans or Galatia or Ephesians. This is for all who will read. There is a way to walk. There is a way to conduct yourself. And it's in holiness. And it's in obedience to God. And that obedience is not grievous. It's your great good pleasure. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You were called out of the darkness so that you could walk in the light. I pray that this has been a great blessing to all of you this morning. It's my great privilege to do this work. I'm so blessed to do this. So blessed to have been able to spend 10 years of my life getting up early before work, reading and studying the Word of God with all of you. Thank you for listening. And just a reminder, it is listener supported. It can't happen without your support. So if you're being blessed by this and you have the means to support the podcast, please consider doing so. If you don't, your prayers are much coveted. Please consider praying for me and the podcast. Thank you for listening, my friends. Peace and grace be with all of you, and until next time, God bless.